A reading from Luke 23, verses 32 through 34. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. The scene of the crucifixion from which these verses were taken was prophesied by Jesus himself as he traveled with his disciples to Jerusalem for his final week. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 20, verses 17 through 19 says, "And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day.'" But it is what Jesus says to his disciples immediately before this prediction that sheds light on why Jesus says to those around him on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At the beginning of Matthew 20, Jesus tells a parable about workers in the vineyard. The workers who had been in the field since early morning were paid the same wage by the landowner as those who didn't begin working until early evening. Even though the early workers were paid what the landowner had promised, they grumbled, saying, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." The landowner replied, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" By telling this parable right before he predicts his death on the cross, Jesus links his crucifixion to the generosity of God. We see God's generosity poured out through Jesus as he calls out to his Father, God, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." As Jesus hangs on the cross, he cries out for the Father to forgive not those who have faithfully followed him for the last 3 years, but those who are right then and there condemning him, mocking him, shaming him, crucifying him. Even more so, he cries out for their forgiveness before they cast lots for his clothes, before the rulers scoff him, and before the soldiers mock him. By human standards, God's generosity seen here in his forgiveness is not fair. And thank God it is not. For God's forgiveness is not concerned with how much we have sinned or how long we have sinned. His forgiveness is not concerned whether we put our faith in him as a child, in middle life, or on our deathbed. God's forgiveness is not concerned with the fact that all of us continue to fall into sin after we have given our life over to him. As we read today in the upper room morning prayer in Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." All our sins, past, present, and future, are wiped out through God's generous forgiveness. Is your view of yourself grounded in this generosity of God? Or are you still judging yourself based on your past? Or have you or what others have done to you, or what you have done? God judged all of our sins once for all on the cross, paying the price of his son's life so we could all be forgiven and live a life eternal with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The crucifixion of Jesus was enough for all time and for all of our lives. Will you graciously receive God's generous forgiveness?